Hello there, and welcome to Christ Community Church. If we have not yet met yet, my name is Greg. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you're a guest and it's your first or second time here, we would really like to get to know you. And how you can help us do that's pretty easy. You can, there'll be, if you look at one of the seats and, that's in front of you, but it's on the back of the seat, there's a QR code. And if you push a few buttons on your phone, it should take you to the connection card and you can fill it out where you sit. Or better yet, you can stop out. Shelby's out at her welcome desk. She'd like to meet you and she can help you. And for taking the time to talk to her and for us to get to know you, we have a gift for you for doing so. Recently, I had this opportunity to be with a best friend of mine just about 2 weeks ago down in Florida. His name is Dave. And I was talking with Dave and I was sharing with him that there's this weird thing that I feel has kind of occurred in my life. And he asked me what that was, and I said that the best way to describe it is I kind of feel like I've been stuck in a time warp most of my life. He said, okay, what's that like? And I said, well, it's like this. All my life, I have felt stuck. And I said, my childhood was a blur. My dad was a pastor. The denomination that he was in, they had this way of helping pastors grow and get a church. And so they had kind of like a 10-rung ladder. Everybody had to start on the bottom. And what you would do is you try to do a good job and to get a better job, a bigger church, so that you could take care of your family. And because of that, because it was true in our family, I moved a lot as a kid. How often? By the time I finished my junior year of high school, we had moved 7 times. Now, a lot of those moves took place during the school year. It's hard enough to move in the summer. It's painful when school is already in happening. And so I said, most of my life, I was always kind of behind. I wasn't that sharp. I thought Johnny Cash was a paid toilet. It was just one of those kind of things. And so the deal was, is I was behind. And if there was a sport, I was the last one on the bench, or I didn't make the team, or I didn't get the cut. And things were kind of hard. But by my junior year, I'd grown about 3 or 4 more inches, and things started to come my way. And as a result of hard work and some opportunities that came my way, and some of it was just simply good fortune. I had a really good year my senior or junior year, and I was really looking forward to my senior year. In April 1976, almost at the end of the school year, my dad pulls me aside, and he tells me right before my senior year, he said, you're going to move again. It's a bigger school, and it's on the other side of the state. So I would have to start over. But I got to be honest with you, I didn't really fit in that school. And it was a small enough school, maybe some of you had this happen to you, where you'd been there 3, 4, 5, 6 years, and then the teachers had tagged you, and so you were stuck in what you used to be, and there was no chance to make changes. And so I told my dad, I didn't think it was so much about starting over as it was a fresh new start. But please, yes, I was still very, very apprehensive. I tell you what, we landed in that town on June 2nd. It was a Tuesday. And within 48 hours, I knew it was the best place for me. It was a great situation. Right away, I met a bunch of guys, met a lot of people. A lot of the guys that I got to know and became friends with right away were in the same sports that I was in. And we just connected, and they just took me under their arms like I'd been there for years. And I had a terrific, terrific summer, the best summer of my life. I worked for a hay company, and we made hay bales, and we would load anywhere from 3 to 6 semi-trucks a day, 22-ton a truck, and out there in the middle of the best tan ever, and these guys were hilarious, and I absolutely loved going to work. The best summer ever. When I went to school the next fall, I walked into the school, felt like I'd already been there. And my senior year, at that time, my senior year was the best year of my life. I came to Christ that fall. That was a game changer. I had a super year on our basketball team. track when it was going exceptionally well because the school year wasn't done yet. School ended. I got my summer back. It was just so great. I got an offer to go to college. I met a sweet girl that summer who was just passing through. It ended up she was going to be at the same college I was. College started. We fell in love. Best fall ever. I married that lady 9 months after we met. And that's her. Best roommate ever. 2 years later, she graduated from college. The year after that, I graduated from college. We both landed jobs. We were excited. And in 1982, our son Aaron was born. And folks, it was the best year ever. And after all those best years, I was grateful. And I said, Dave, I was tired. So one day I laid down, took a nap. And when I woke up, 40 years had come and gone. And this happened. And it was like, I don't know how to explain it. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's like I just closed my eyes for a minute and 4 decades were gone. And I can't believe how quickly the years have passed. Now, there's some of you perhaps, and you're young and you don't get it. Trust me, you will in time. We're in this series called Family. And Daryl asked me to answer this question. How did you and Yvonne work together in such a way that you two were on the same page in parenting? And to be honest, a lot of these years went by, a lot of the stuff that we caught stuck to us or we kind of bumped into it. But when we sat down this week and just talked about it, there were things that we knew that were priorities for us. We have 17 grandchildren. The youngest, or the oldest, is 21. The youngest is 2 years old. And the 21 and the 2-year-old are siblings. And we've been married those 46 years, and we've learned a lot of things and some things along the way, sometimes the hard way. But we're incredibly grateful. For the next few minutes, I want to take a hard right. And here's why. In October of 1974, I was a freshman in high school. My dad and I were in the car riding together. I'm the oldest of 7 kids. I have no idea where we were going. I have no idea about the conversation that we had. But one thing I do remember is we were talking and a song came on the radio and we both stopped talking. And I remember being just 15 years old and that song, as a 15-year-old, turned my head. It became a number one song, and it was a classic. Chances are many of you know the song, and these are the first four lines, and some of you will know what song I'm talking about in the first 5 words. My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way. There were planes to catch and bills to pay, and he learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. And the song is entitled Cats in the Cradle. And if you haven't heard that song, and you are parents of kids who are still at home, you need to find it, and you need to read its lyrics. If you are here and still a parent, I want to give you 2 statistics that you dare not miss. The first is simply this. 75% of the time you'll ever get to spend with your kids is over by the time that they are 12. Read that silently to yourself. For some of you, and your kids are gone, you can feel the pain. Even if everything's good, let it sink in. But the second one is equally as hard. 90% of your time with them is gone the day they turn 18. Take a moment and take those two in. Those next 2 slides there. I don't know about you. But where did the time go? For Yvonne and I, our years of guiding our kids has come and gone. Those precious years are gone forever. And here's the deal. It's a very small window of time that you get to be with your children. And my challenge for you today is simply this. Use it wisely. I wish I could tell you that Yvonne and I, that we were really, and if you know me, even me saying this should make you laugh, that we planned ahead before we had children and laid it out how it would play out. Not so much. We are really, when we have children, folks, it's such a gift. And we really need to effectively or somehow make it our best shot in being a steward of the time that we have them. So I'm going to share with you a little bit here. And I'm going to share four things that Yvonne and I, looking back, were the priorities. And some of them were really obvious as soon as we started talking. Number one, our prayer was this, that they would love Jesus. Before Yvonne and I met, almost the same year, we both came to know Christ and chose to follow him. And that for both of us was a life-altering event. It was a game changer, if you please. As parents, as soon as we had Aaron born, we knew that this meant that we needed to flesh out a personal faith that was legit and real, the best we could. We knew we couldn't be perfect. We just wanted to do our best. So you know, Mom and Dad, that they need to see you embracing your faith and owning your faith. Our sincere hope with all of our children and now our grandchildren would be simply this, that they would love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and with all their strength. Day after day, we tried our best to live out authentic faith. Sometimes we did that well, other times not so much. Sometimes I want to share this with you that I think we miss the mark for our kids. We make the goal for them to be smart and talented and successful. And those are interesting words for me, but I don't think they're the kind of words that will change the world. Talent and success usually only last a season. And I'm not so sure that successful is a biblical word. And wisdom is seldom a synonym for smart. One person wrote this, you can get all A's and still flunk in life. You can get lots of stuff and still feel empty. You can be around people and at the same time be all alone. I hope that my children and my grandchildren will be a people who are kingdom-minded, where getting things is not as important as impacting people. So that was our first thing. My son Aaron is a pastor. I'll talk about him in a little bit, but some of you, he preached here and he had the beard, and he called Fear the Beard. Terrific kid. But we were together one day and we were talking, and this is just about 15 years ago or so. He's 42 now, and we're talking, and I just happened to mention, you do know Aaron, I named you Aaron because I want you to be my first pastor son. And he burst out laughing. He said, you're making that up. Bud said, no. That's why he named you Aaron. He wanted to have a son that he could do ministry with. So we wanted our kids to not only love Jesus, but to serve him, to serve him well. Secondly, be present. And there are several things to this component. When you're a parent, I just want to throw this out there, you really got to practice the 80-20% rule. And just so you know, I want to make this really, really clear. In my family, the person who's really connected to the kids and listens to the kids and communicated with the kids was not me. It was my wife, to be honest. But we had what we called the 80-20% rules, and she still reminds me of it. And 80-20 is simply this. 80% of the time, you listen. You just listen. And the other 20% of the time, you respond to what you heard to make sure you got it right. Things like eye contact, body language, to listen with your heart, to ask intentional questions of your child. My wife was the queen bee of getting our kids to open up about their day. One of our priorities in our family since the kids were born practically was simply this. In our house, there was no watching TV while you ate dinner. That was out. TV was off. Later, when cell phones moved around, they couldn't be even in the kitchen or the dining room. We would sit down with our kids. They joke about it once in a while. Sometimes they'll even ask a question when they're visiting us. But we had two questions we asked them every day. What was the best part of your day? Followed by, what didn't you like at school today? And then sometimes, this question, and is there anything we need to know about your day today? We didn't believe in distractions. My wife, still to this day, we went out last night, to one of my favorite churches called Four Daughters. And anyway, the thing that happened there is she just took my phone and moved it so I couldn't reach it, put it flat face down. Because she's just that way. If we're going to talk, we're going to talk eye to eye, and you're going to be a part of it. And she was that way with her kids. It holds true now with our grandkids. When our grandkids are at our house, phones are put away, right away. Secondly, Yvonne, the second component of this is Yvonne always took the opportunity to talk with her kids all the time. For some of you, maybe the word taxi mom has a negative connotation. Yvonne was a taxi mom, and it was not uncommon for us to be running our four kids to four different events. In fact, one time we had this perfect situation where we were able to sit in the bleachers of the football game, watching our daughter play tennis on over there, my son Aaron playing football here, my son Jake playing soccer over there, and if I looked over, I could catch Josh playing football. And we were running kids everywhere because they were all probably pretty much in the same proximity of age. So she was the taxi mom, running our kids everywhere, baseball, basketball, football, soccer, tennis, track. And she would tell you that sometimes being in the car with one of our kids was the only chance she had to have that child to herself that day. She was talking to me just today, and she goes, "Hey, I got to tell you something that I forgot. I wanted you to know." I said, "What?" She goes, "I heard the speaker talking about manna moments." I said, "Manna moments, what's that?" She goes, "Well, you know, during the Exodus, God provided these opportunities to eat and to be fed." And I said, "Okay." And she goes, "One of the things that this speaker said was this: God gives us moments that are gifts. Those times just to chat with your child. You don't want to miss those opportunities. Those teachable moments that come your way are significant in the lives of your children." There's this verse, and sometimes for some reason it has a negative connotation, but it's a very positive connotation. It says this, Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, do not do things that make your children angry. Instead, teach them carefully as they grow up. Help them to understand the message of the Lord and help them to obey it." And then if you go to some other of these translations, the words that they use to say how you as a parent address and talk with your child are really key. Don't make your children bitter about life. Don't nag your children, making them angry and resentful. Don't frustrate your children with no-win scenarios. This one, do not drive your children mad. And then the words that are wrapped around that are very gentle, caring, personal, warm words. My wife never regretted the taxi mom season. And she tells me still to this day, some of the best conversations I ever had with our kids was when I was driving one of them from one thing to the other. And now today she's a taxi grandma. and she believes in a captive audience, so no devices allowed. Third component, as a family, we were committed to be together and to have as much fun as possible, always. In my family, or my children's family, my wife and I, we believed that having fun was a non-negotiable. We thought love was absolutely intoxicating. One man said it this way, laughter is a sacred sound to the ear of God. I believe that laughter has this incredible capacity to heal our bodies, our minds, and our spirit. And that's why the Bible says in many places, but this one in particular, a cheerful heart is good medicine. Sometimes, folks, life gets way too serious. Sometimes we're way too busy. Sometimes it is just all so complicated, and we don't mean for it to happen, but one day we wake up and discover that the fun has kind of slipped off the cracker. A few years ago, a health study was done. It determined there are three main reasons why people can't cope in life. Number one, they live in the past and they can't let it go. Number two, they have low self-esteem. And number three, they can't laugh at themselves. My kids will tell you they laugh at themselves, but they laugh at me even more. The study went on to say that to be healthy, you need to have 12 laughs a day as adults. And I think I read somewhere that the average child laughs or smiles 300 times a day. Big difference. Laughter and fun has got to be a priority. One of the things that we made as a priority every year was to take a family vacation. And I want you to know, because maybe you're like me, when we didn't have any money. We had little money, and then I back up and say, no, we didn't have any money. And we were committed to take trips anyway. And sometimes that was hard. We had a Bashan that was national champion sired because a person in our church sold these dogs, great dog. And that dog ended up having 34 pups in its lifetime. We got the mother load of Bashans. Most Bashan dogs only have one or two. We had seven the first litter, okay? And they were $400. And that's how we got to pay for, it was a doggone good deal. And so we had this one vacation that we wanted to take. And I was a youth pastor for many years. And anywhere I was a youth pastor, I had tents because we would take kids on a 10 to 15 day trip and we'd camp out, okay? And one of the things that if we were on our youth staff, you could borrow those tents. So we were going to borrow our youth group tents so that we could go camping. Well, a person in our church and his wife heard that we were going to go tent camping and said, I don't think you really want to do that. How would you feel about using our trailer? I said, well, what kind of trailer? It's because a pop-up trailer sleeps eight, but you only have six. You should be good to go. I said, that's just so kind of you. Then I said, but I got a problem. They said, what's the problem? I said, well, I don't have a hitch on my car, and the kind of car I had at that time, you couldn't get a hitch. And they said, no worries. You can take. We have an extra car. And it was just awesome. There's things that sometimes people don't tell you when they do things for you. The first one was they didn't bother to tell me that this camper had been in a barn for 5 years and they had not used it. Okay? And then they said that they cleaned it. Uh-huh. But we didn't know totally what was all involved, but here's what happened. We went to the Black Hills. My dad, again, I'm the oldest of seven, and my dad, for a Christmas gift, gave every one of our seven kids, we were kids at the time, and a membership to a camp out in the Black Hills called Heart Ranch. And that was a great gift to us. And so we were going to do our first summer vacation with somebody's trailer and their car to the Black Hills. And just what again, this is what you know. You don't even have any appreciation of the fact that we had no money. And the camp that we went to had lots of money, okay? And so we pulled in, got our lot number, we went and we parked our car, and we were getting the camper up and everything, and every once in a while, a mouse would fall out of the trailer, and one time a rat, and that was really exciting, and kids got to laughing. We had to go and get mouse traps and stuff. But we got everything up, and the kids, we put, if you've ever been a pop-up camper, you can cram a ton of stuff in there. So we had the kids' bikes, we had chairs, we had all kinds of stuff in there, and we were really excited about our location. Okay, the camp trailer couldn't have been worth $200, $250. The car couldn't have been $200, $250. The first vehicle that pulled up next to us was probably $250,000 to $300,000. This thing was the mother of campers. And the bikes that they had on that thing had to be worth more than our trailer and our cars. And that night, that first night, I got up and I heard this, and I couldn't figure it out. And I got a flashlight and I looked up, and this guy had a 6-foot-wide satellite dish so that he could pick up cable. All right? Unbelievable. And while I was telling my wife, I heard another vehicle pull up, and it was another trailer that had to be worth $200,000, $250,000. And our $400 camping unit, okay? A car and so anyway, that first night, we're getting ready for bed. We got the boys. My twins are on one side of the pop-up tent, and my son Aaron and Rachel are over here, and we've got kind of like this queen bed thing in the middle, and I'm turning off the lights, and all of a sudden I hear, "Ah! What the?" So I turn on the lights, and Josh goes, "Dad, Jake disappeared." I go, "What do you mean? He's gone." And then there was a knock on the door, and it was Jake. Well, what happened was, is this trailer was so old that, you know, if you've ever seen it, it comes down, flips around, and you have these two arms. Well, he rolled out against, and he just fell out of the tent, fell out. Okay, so it was, and I got to tell you, we laughed so hard. It just busted us up, all right? 2 days later, it rained more in the camper than it was outside. It was like everything just went into the middle of the camper. Laugh. We made all of our own meals. We did what we could. A situation worked out where somebody couldn't take horseback rides, and that was kind of expensive. And this guy kept on said, "You know, you have those four great kids. I'll pay for your horseback rides." Our kids had their bikes, and there wasn't a lot of kids there because of kind of at that time it wasn't such a family-oriented as it was a retirement campground. And so it was crazy. So there was an event. They have all these events that you can do for kids. And all of our kids had their bikes, and they went, and they came back, and they all had all these trophies. And I said, "What in the world?" And they said, "Well, they had all these trophies for every age, and we were the only ones there." And thing after thing after thing that our kids still, and they were young kids at that time, that they would just laugh about the things that happened and the places we went. Man, I'm just telling you, laughter is, and story, they, your kids remember them. And by the way, we've been going to Heart Ranch now for almost 40 years. And we're going there with the whole family. All the kids are coming. Anyway, Ephesians 5:15 says this: "Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." Making the most of every opportunity literally means redeem the time. We are all given an equal amount of time each day, and how we use it determines its values. When we redeem the time for Christ and our families, we place the utmost value on it. Another thing that I would encourage you to do that we did on a regular basis is we prayed for our kids to have good friends, and we prayed for other adults who are positive influences to be a part of our children's life. I heard this guy speak, and I was so taken back. And I'm going to share some with you, and some of you will bristle on it, but follow me on it. He said, parents, you have more to do with your child's life by where you choose to live than by anything else you will ever do inside your home. Short of abuse, neglect, or malnutrition, the rest of everything else here, that he says, is just trivial variation. It's where you live. And he said, when I say it's where you live, I'm not talking about the house you live in, but the area you choose to live in. And I thought, why? And this is what he said, because out-of-home influences are more powerful in shaping the life of your child than in-home influences will. That's strong and scary. And then he lists two significant out-of-home influencers. The first, peer groups, and the second, other positive adults. Another researcher said this: we make a mistake when we choose to buy a house without taking into account the neighbors and the neighborhood and schools. When I was a youth pastor, we used to share these two thoughts: choose your friends with care because you become what they are. And then 1 Corinthians 15:33, don't be misled, bad company corrupts good character. Mom and dads, if you have kids at home, get to know your kids' friends. We wanted to get to know our kids' friends. And so I could so easily retire if I could just get the money that we spent on pizza and pop for my kids' friends. They had the mother load of friends. But we wanted that because not only did we know what they were doing and where they were at, but we also got to know the friends that they were choosing, and we were really appreciative of the friends they chose and grateful. Our son Aaron and Megan, my wife was just out there. He lives in Knoxville, Fear the Beard guy. And he is a pastor at a unique church. He just turned down a really sweet opportunity in Seattle to be the senior, the main teacher at that church. And I asked, why didn't you take that job? It was a great, great job. And he said, Dad, you moved me my senior year. After my sophomore year. And that was a very hard time in my life. I survived, but I don't know if my daughters could, so I'm going to stay here until both of them graduate. That's amazing. But then he said, Dad, we have this great ministry. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, we're in a rough, rough part of Knoxville. How rough? The school district that my grandkids go to, they only open the bathroom twice a day because it's too dangerous. Think about that. And Aaron said, Dad, we minister to so many single moms, so many broken homes, so many parents, if they're married, both are working their butt off just trying to make ends meet. And their church has leaned right into their community. In fact, Yvonne said when Yvonne was there for a musical, and the crazy thing was is that I just lost my train of thought. And the reason is because I just realized I am missing my last two pages of my manuscript. But that's awesome. But my granddaughter had the lead in a junior high musical. And the people who got around, not just her and their friends, was the church. And not only that, previous teachers who no longer teach Chloe showed up for the musical. And then Aaron and another friend who own a coffee shop, they are going to play the video and have a host party for the musical. But not only that, he said, Dad, we have kids come to our house all the time. It's not a youth group. They're just a group of kids. And they have no place to go. And so they've kind of made our house their house. And those kids call them Mama and Papa Loy. And I think that's pretty exceptional. So Number four, and I've already said it, pray for your kids and the friends they have, and for adult influences that are positive and encouraging. I want to go back to that slide, if we may. And this is a slide, thank you. Pray like crazy. Daryl said that last week. Pray like crazy. And I was reading the story that occurred amongst the family. This couple joined a bunch of other couples to pray for their kids. And there were seven couples. And they prayed for the kids, and in the process of thinking, what would this look like, they came across a verse. And I can't remember that verse, but I think it's on the slide. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. And then this line, you and your household. These seven couples, between them, had 23 children, and none of those children were believers. So they, as a group, decided, this is our verse, and we're going to believe this is not just a verse, but it's a promise. And for the next 2 years, almost every week, sometimes, yes, somebody was gone or something came up or it was a holiday, every 2 weeks they would get together as a group and they'd pray for the children by name. And at the end of 2 years, all their kids had received Christ. That's really cool. But how encouraging that must have been for them to pull together and to pray for each other's children. So here's the deal. I want to go back to that last slide because we got to get done here. Take those two. If you're a mom or dad, man, this should be, and you have kids at your house, these should be kind of rocking you. Because it's just a small window that we have. So we're going to close here in a second for prayer, but here's what I want to ask you to do, if you would. Carpe diem. Seize the day. Redeem the time. Secondly, I want to encourage you to do something. You don't have to. They don't want to be really careful. I was thinking about this, and I was talking to Yvonne about it, and I don't want to orchestrate this. But maybe you're here, and you are parents, and maybe God's going to ask you either here or at home, you're going to pray for your kids. I don't think that's something that you can do too much of. I didn't say pray at your kids. Pray against your kids. I said, pray for your kids. Secondly, maybe you're a single parent. That's doggone hard work. My daughter was a single parent for several years, so we have a real heart for single parents. Maybe you're in a situation where you and your kids are in a bad spot. Maybe your kids are married and out of the house and things haven't been resolved, and maybe what you need is you need to come forward and have somebody to pray for you, that God would do whatever it takes on your side of it to try to pass an olive branch. And that God might do something that only He can do in breaking down some barriers and some walls so that you might be able to enjoy your family. And then finally, I would just say this, if you're grandparents, that's a tremendous, wonderful thing. And though you can't tell your kids how to raise their kids, you can most certainly pray for your grandkids. It's a small window of time, people, that we have. Use it wisely. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being a God who meets us where we're at, for those of us who have given our lives to you, we can't think of anything else that we would rather be than to be a man or woman, a child of God. We pray for our kids. We pray for all the things that they face that we can't even really grasp because the world's a different place. And I pray that we would be people who believe in the power of prayer, that regardless of what the circumstances are, you are a God who heals and who redeems and is a God of second chances. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for always being concerned about the things that weigh on our hearts. And may we be a people who absolutely make the most of the time with our families. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.